There, we're good.
Well, today is our second in our series of preaching on the book of Revelation. Obviously, the book of Revelation has had all kinds of notoriety in our society, but it was a book written intentionally for seven churches on the west coast of what we would call today the country of Turkey. So this cluster of churches, and as you read in this book and listen to kind of the voice that's given to these, you suspect that they're kind of in a crisis. The things aren't going well for these churches. And you can hear the urgency in the voice that, and I think, like I said, there's two things he's really trying to do for these churches. One is inspire hope. Inspire hope in these churches that aren't doing well. And urge faithfulness, because the heat's on them. They have persecutions by this time, the book was written, and largely Roman persecutions. And that meant a lot of ostracization, some being shunned. Common word, where family or businesses wouldn't do it. It really hit them more socially and economically. And some would get thrown in prison, some would die for their faith. But it was more of that other stuff that they faced. The other thing they faced was false teachers. There was a lot of teachings of all kinds of different beliefs going on, and they wanted them to stay with the Christian path as we understand it today. So anyway, and part of this is that John wrote, it was dictated by Jesus, letters to each of these seven churches. And we have for today the one from Laodicea. So this town of Laodicea, and all of them have some rather critical spiritual assessments. We'll call it that in them. And this one for Laodicea is probably the most biting of all of them. It goes, "Oh, I wish that you were hot, or at least cold. But you are neither hot nor cold. So I'm thinking of spitting you out of my mouth." Well, that's pretty biting. It's saying, you know, you're so lukewarm that I'm thinking of spitting you out of my mouth. So I hear that and I just go, wow, that's pretty rough. It reminds me of something Luther said, that we too often as Christians neither find the joy of saints nor the fun of the sinners. You know, it's this limbo. Limbo land. So Laodicea was unlike the other six churches largely in that they were a prosperous church. Laodicea was a prosperous town. It had banking. It had textiles. It was known for this fine black wool cloth. It had medicines. It was known for eye ointment things. And all that kind of gets picked up a little bit in this letter. And you feel him urging faithfulness. Not against maybe persecutions or false teachers like some of the others, but more against their own self-satisfied, complacent lives. He's trying to shake them. Of course, the end of this letter, towards the end of this letter, is that famous verse of Jesus saying, "I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would open that door to me, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. We'll have this fellowship together." Which is, of course, the hope there in here, that they could have this fellowship with their Lord this way. Well, he's been, these letters have been rather, like I said, scathing towards these churches. Where does John move now? Now he's going to move to yet another revelation, another vision of heaven. And this one begins with the door of heaven opens, and he hears from this door of heaven a voice like a trumpet that calls him to come to see what is to come. And the next thing he knows, he's in a throne room. And he says, there's one seated on the throne. Doesn't say it's the Lord God, but, you know, that's what it's getting at, the Lord God. And I can't cover it all, but some of the big pieces is there's 24 thrones around this throne. And on those thrones are elders. And again, elders are spiritual leaders, and people have debated who that might be, what kind of spiritual leaders of the communities are there, as it prophets or priests or apostles or something. But just spiritual leaders on earth represented by thrones. And they have gold crowns and white robes. Yeah, there's peals of thunder and lightning and that whole kind of holy scene there. It's like, whoa. And then we pretty soon we're introduced to these four living creatures. One that's kind of like a lion. It looks like a lion. And the lion, again, being the top land predator they would have known in that day. So this one like a lion. One like an ox, and again, that's again known for its strength and endurance, can plow forever kind of thing. Then a human, which is we're kind of known for intelligence most of the time. And then finally, the eagle, which rules over the air, the top predator of the air. So these creatures, and they have eyes on them, they have these all these wings on them, so they're really fascinating creatures. And they're all there singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." They're singing this, it says, day and night. And we didn't keep going with it, but pretty soon these 24 elders cast their crowns before them and they join in singing, "Worthy art thou, you know, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and glory and honor," and all this. And so it's really a heavenly scene, it's what he's seeing, of these incredible top creatures and elders from this earth worshiping, praising God, giving glory to God. Kind of hits our gospel lesson. In our gospel lesson, Jesus was really talking about how he saw his life as giving glory to God. That was what he was about in his life, to give glory to God. And I think if I ask most of you out there, what are you here for? I don't think many of you come up with that answer. Well, my life's to give glory to God. You know, the Westminster Catechism out of the Reformed tradition says that. It says, you know, our lives are here to give glory to God. And I think that kind of goes over our heads a little bit. What does it mean that we are given to give glory to God? Imagine if I ask people their purpose, they might say, well, my purpose is being that I have this career I have to fulfill. And that's my purpose. Or maybe it's my role in my family. That's my purpose in life. Or maybe it's to make a difference in this world. It's one difference. I want to do this. This is my purpose in life. Or maybe it's just to survive the day because you're in a bad place. But to give glory to God is your purpose. And then all those things we might think are our purpose are only as good as they are at giving glory to God. And I think what John is trying to do to these seven churches, and I'll include us as the eighth church in that, is to kind of sweep us up in a vision. To catch us from our mundane lives, from the struggles we have, from all the things that aren't going very well, maybe even our complacency, from our prosperity, to give glory to God. Just let it well up within us. You know, I think some people hear this, holy, 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 and you know, we sing that every week here as Lutherans. Call it Sanctus. It's right before communion. Little hymn where we say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," every week. And some people, well, that's kind of repetitious. And to think of something new. That's what they think. Because we've learned that. That's what goes on in heaven. And others read this stuff about heaven here and see that these creatures are singing holy, holy, holy day and night. And go, man, heaven's going to be boring. You know, and I think the thing that people miss in this, the critical piece they miss in this, is that the ones that do this aren't trying to work at it or have to do it. It's welling up within them because they've encountered the presence of God. The one who sits on the throne has been there. Somehow they've connected to that. Somehow they know they're in this presence and they're trying to find the words. Something to come up within them. To give praise and glory to God that could well up in there. Kind of an earthly way to get at this. Think of the scene of the most natural beauty maybe that you've been at, the most wonderful thing you've seen, experienced in your life. Maybe it's Pike's Peak in a sunset. It's always a good one. Or maybe you've come up to the Grand Canyon. Yeah, I don't know if you ever come up to that lip and you look over and there's just this huge expanse there. It's just like a wow. That is so cool, and we, you know, stuff just starts coming up in response to it. Or maybe it's the birth of a child, or a field of flowers, or a beach scene, or whatever that scene is, and just, you can remember just how it affected you, and something comes up inside you. And this scene is saying, the one behind all that, the Lord God that has created you, and all these things you've seen, and you're in that person's presence, something comes up. And you need to find some words, something to respond, to say, I'm in the presence of God. The Lord God over all these things, who created all these things. And that's where we run and find this scripture and say, here's what we say. We say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It just comes up. Well, some might say to me, hey, pastor, that's great, but I hate to tell you this, but I've never experienced the presence of God like that. I don't know what that is. And the truth is, most of us on this side of the grave probably won't get that. That's just the honest truth of that. A few get bits of glimpses of that. Others get more full-blown kind of vision things, but most of us don't. We're the ones, we say, who walk by faith. And as Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We're hoping for this stuff. The conviction of things not seen, that there's something behind there that is so magnificent, so clouded in holy mystery that it takes your breath away. And you just start saying stuff like, holy, holy, holy. We do that by faith, week in and week out. We find in that place the great hymn, right? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Just welling up and reminding us this place we have. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And maybe some of the lukewarmness with its complacency heats up when we do that, just a bit. It's a little warmer when we say that or sing that before their throne. And maybe as we sing that, we're somehow answering a knock that our Savior has at our door for us to respond and say, you know, come in, holy, holy, holy. Come in, you. And maybe we can be invited then to come to a table, put our hands out, and eat with him. Have his fellowship with him. And all this to be caught up, if you will, in the glory. To glorify God. To give thanks and praise to God. To be swept up with this heavenly scene. And it's all to God's glory. Amen.